previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
I tell you guys, it's going to be awesome. I mean, come on, Rock and Roll Frankenstein, how can it be bad?
I keep telling you, Afrin doesn't make your soup taste better. You're not supposed to put it in the soup, Eric.
I took more time making popcorn than I did watching the movie.
Yeah, I just want to stay on topic that episode.
Yeah, yeah, we really did. So we should probably just jump right. Well, first, I guess we have to introduce ourselves.
I'm Maya Zaktar.
I'm Eric Sandin.
And I'm Jonathan Strickland. And Rock and Roll Frankenstein. So that happened.
Okay, so I'm going to warn everybody right now. This episode will be full of spoilers and likely lots and lots of swearing.
It's going to be really hard to describe the plot of Rock and Roll Frankenstein without getting an explicit tag.
Yeah, so this episode is explicit. It is not for children. It is not safe for work. Please, wherever you are, if you're still listening to this and you're piping it through your computer speakers or your home stereo, do not continue listening to this.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? You should probably just turn the podcast off now.
Exactly. For the safety.
Because, like the movie we're about to talk about, this podcast is not really for human consumption.
All right, so let's do a little quick background, a little quick recap here.
Sure,
We have this challenge. I was trying to think. It's not a movie bet. It's a movie challenge where the three of us find a terrible movie on Netflix. We then write down how long we think we will survive watching this movie, and then we just watch the movie. There's no second screen distractions allowed. There is no friends. You can't riff around about these movies.
It's just you and the movie.
You and the movie.
And I mean, if you do stop the movie, you can watch the rest of it with a second screen, but you have to write down how long you lasted before you gave up.
Now, what we have right now, I have the old numbers. Rock and Roll Frankenstein. Eric said he could do 25 minutes. I thought I could do 18, and Jonathan said 12.
Yeah, Eric, how far did you get?
The first time, 13 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. It was
You didn't even get to the offensive parts.
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, anyway, so there was a second attempt?
The second attempt, I actually had another person with me because I was explaining the movie and the challenge and everything. And she was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like fine. Let's watch that. That sounds like fun. 23 minutes.
Okay.
So even with a person. Okay, Ayaz, how far did you get?
I got 1 hour and 7 minutes into the movie.
Oh, so, man.
You mean you were like 10 minutes away from the end of the movie and you gave up?
That's right. That's how bad it got.
Yeah, I watched the whole damn thing.
I did finish the movie this morning.
I'm sorry.
Because I was like, you know what? There was only 20 minutes left, but I was so put off by the film that I was like, okay, you know what? I can't watch this any further. I'm either going to fall asleep on my couch, or I would rather get a second screen, but I am not consuming this for the rest of the night. The next thing I watch will be better, and I watched like Archer or something.
So, Eric, the first time you
Jonathan, how far did you get?
I watched the whole movie.
Finished it, yeah.
The credits rolled. I watched all the way through. Credits had rolled. The end.
So
surprised.
The whole movie. Okay, well, first, Eric.
I think it was about 13 minutes in when they reanimate the cow head or something like that. I don't know what it was, but there was something about that where I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
You didn't even get as far as the actual
plot.
The monster being made then.
I did the second time around.
Right. Okay. Well, before we really start diving into how terrible this movie was, why it was like what made it terrible and why Ayaz gave up 10 minutes away from the end of the movie, we should probably explain the plot such as it is.
The stated
plot.
The
film. Now, before I do that, first of all, honestly, people, there is no reason to watch this movie. It may be one of those things where you're saying like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. No, it's not good. It is deeply offensive and not in the way that the filmmakers intended, which drives me nuts because you can tell they were trying to offend people.
Yes.
But their actual attempts to offend people came across as pathetic. But the underlying like foundation for what drives the story forward is so much more offensive than their transparent attempts. But anyway, we'll get into that. So let's explain what the plot was. The movie opens in the office of a music agent, a guy who is an agent for musicians who has the foulest mouth out of everyone in the movie, and that's saying something. I don't think there was a single line that character had where he didn't drop at least one F-bomb and two or three other curse words.
Well, this character's name is Bernie Stein.
Bernie Stein.
Uncle Bernie.
A great agent name.
Uncle to Frank. Frank Stein.
Oh, they call wait. Frankie all the time.
Yeah, Frankie Stein. So Bernie Stein, it opens up with one of the guys he represents leaving his agency, and he has obviously experienced this before, and he is somewhat perturbed by this trend, and so he comes up with the brilliant idea of being able to create a rock musician that will obey his every whim and essentially belong to him. So that way he doesn't have to worry about investing a lot of time in someone only to have them leave him. And really, you can't imagine why anyone would leave this guy. He's such a sweetheart. So then he ends up employing his nephew, Frank Stein, who is a former coroner, a current necrophiliac, and apparently someone who knows how to use blended up babies to bring dead tissue back to life.
Yes, absolutely.
And so the idea is to use him and some grave robbing dope heads to assemble a rock and roll monster. Yeah, a genius, a rock and roll genius out of the body parts of deceased rock and rollers, such as Jimi Hendrix, Buddy Holly, Keith Moon, Elvis, and of course the pièce de résistance, Jim Morrison.
Well, I believe there's also Sid Vicious's feet.
Oh, that's
and
right,
his rear
and,
end.
And his butt. Yes, right. Yes. I forgot about Sid Vicious's butt because obviously that was an important part of the movie. It took me a while to figure out who it was supposed to be because that tattoo was terrible. Anyway, the idea is that they will sew all these pieces together, reanimate the corpse using the blended up baby goo, and the rock and roll god will end up making the agent millions of dollars. Now, there's a couple things I want to talk about before we even get further into this. One of which is, for a movie called Rock and Roll Frankenstein, there are like 2.5 musical numbers, and then all the rest of the music in the movie is the MIDI version of some classical music piece. Like Night on Bald Mountain, Bach's Toccata, Fugue in D Minor, things like that. It's all these MIDI versions of classical music instead of rock and roll.
Now, did you mention that the main dope head sidekick is Iggy?
I did not mention that.
Right, so we got Iggy and Frankie Stein.
Yeah. Yes, Iggy being, of course, the Igor
incredibly
character.
Incredibly clever so far.
Yeah, and he's not just a dope head, of course. He loves every single drug ever. And that's I hesitate to call it a running joke, but it's definitely a running gag that every time he has an encounter with Bernie Stein, Bernie gives him a different bizarre drug.
Now, there's no actual stated relationship between these two people. He just is – Iggy apparently is just he just does things for drugs.
Right. Yeah. And apparently Bernie has things that need doing.
And Bernie is the uncle to Frankie, and he has funded Frankie's scientific career since his scientific career was put aside because he was caught performing
humping a corpse
on the dead.
Yeah, necrophiliac, humping a corpse. Yeah, yes, there's also a running gag.
He rejuvenated it first, then
right.
He used it.
There's a running – well, he rejuvenated part of it. There's a running gag also that Frank ends up reading these various coroner magazines that show – corpses in various states of decay or dismemberment, and then begins to masturbate to them.
Yes.
Which again, one of those transparent efforts to try and shock and offend the audience, but just comes across as pretty much pathetic. And of course, I forgot the big plot twist. You know, they're getting all the different body parts, like Jimi Hendrix's hands, Buddy Holly's torso, et cetera, et cetera. But the pièce de résistance, the Jim Morrison part, is supposed to be the penis, because Bernie Stein thinks the penis is, of course, the real driver of any rock star. And so he goes with the what he thinks would be the best one in all the world, Jim Morrison's, which is not located with the rest of Morrison. Oh, no. It belongs in a private collection that a coroner has assembled, because as it turns out, you find out all coroners tend to like to collect body parts. And this guy had a particular penchant for penises.
Right. So just by getting these bumbling thieves into one area where there is a penis, there's chance for all kinds of mishaps,
shenanigans,
yeah,
hijinks. So they go in and they try to steal Jim Morrison's penis, and of course, you know, they follow the same general plot line as several other movies based on the Frankenstein story have, including, of course, the best one of all time, Young Frankenstein, where there's an accident while they're trying to steal the penis, and the penis is in the accident destroyed. So Iggy ends up stealing.
Wait, before we even – wait, you can't just hop over this. Okay. So wait a second. So these thieves grab the bottle, because they're all in jars.
Yes.
It grabs the labeled bottle. I will give you that.
The preserved penis of
right,
Jim
preserved
Morrison.
Preserved penis of Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison, that is. Sorry, Jim Morrison and somebody else. And they proceed to drop it onto the ground, shattering the jar. Then one of the guys says, oh, give that here. We'll put it in this vial. It's another jar full of clear liquid. And that turns out to be, I believe,
Hydrochloric acid, which, of course, you know, obviously there would be a jar of hydrochloric acid just laying around in the same place as all these jars of penises.
Right. Same size, shape, different color. But seriously, it's not even explained why that's there. It's just picked up and moved.
Yeah. So the penis is dissolved. So Jim Morrison's penis is no more. So a moment of silence. And so they end up grabbing the next penis over, which belongs to Liberace.
Of course.
So this monster ends up with the head of Frankenstein and the penis of Liberace, or Frankenstein, the head of Elvis, which, by the way, also, could they have gotten an actor who had less of a resemblance to Elvis than that guy?
Yeah. So because of the head is Elvis, we are subjected to a pretty bad Elvis impersonation when it comes to
an extremely
speech.
Bad Elvis impersonation.
I think his vocals weren't so bad as a singer.
Compared to the rest of the movie,
yes.
So anyway, the you have the head of Elvis, a notorious admirer of the ladies, and then Liberace's penis. So of course, this is what ends up being the plot for the last probably third of the movie, maybe half to a third. But the idea that there's this struggle between the penis and the brain, that Elvis likes women, but whenever he's with them, he can't get excited because the penis loves men, being from Liberace. And that's where the movie, to me, gets truly offensive, because it essentially says that homosexuality is complete, is unnatural, and it's as base as you can get. And it equates it with all these really gonzo fetishes that are, you know, it just says, well, if you're homosexual, you must also be blah, blah, blah. And that to me is the part where I was like, okay, this movie is awful.
Well, see, even if that was the case, I'm going to somehow try to make, when I was watching this part of the movie, I'm like, okay, well, this is weird. Maybe, you know, Elvis or King, they call him King as sometimes.
Yes.
He is going to come to terms with this. And what we're going to have is a gay rock and roll Frankenstein.
Okay, which sounds fine to me. Fine.
But the problem is, like, I could even argue that maybe Elvis was not the most enlightened human being when it comes to his attitudes about this. But maybe the other characters would show some kind of, oh, okay, that's your deal. The other characters are completely, incredibly, and I'm not offended easily with anything. I was just, like, shocked. This movie's from 1999. And the attitudes they have over this orientation was so vile.
With the exception of Frank, who seemed to be the one person to say, you know, he can accept, he should accept who he is. But then keep in mind, Frank is also the one who likes to stick his own penis in corpses.
Right. So the only person that advocates for this conflicted monster is the necrophiliac who created him.
And you know, they give the penis a voice. They do this as bad as the Elvis vocalization goes, the Liberace one is way worse. And so the penis speaks to the king in the voice of Liberace, but the lines that are given to him are just awful and ridiculously homophobic. And it's just, I was watching it thinking maybe there's going to be some sort of redemption here at some point, but there's not. There's no real redemption at all. And it just gets worse and worse. I will also say that if you're going to watch a movie that by the end of it has a dismembered member moving around on its own accord, make it beyond Reanimator. Don't don't watch Rock and Roll Frankenstein. Watch Beyond Reanimator instead.
Yeah, and the King character is so disgusted by the concept of having to be with men that he says several times in the movie, "I'd rather be dead," and that is why he ends up dismembering himself.
Yes, he ends up hooking his penis to a giant crane and lifts the crane up, or, you know, uses the controls to have the crane lift itself up until his penis is ripped off, which by the time that happens, it has grown to gargantuan status.
Yeah, there's that. There's also, I think, at least four deaths. There's also I believe King bites the head off of a gerbil, places gerbils, live gerbils, into condoms to place into his rear end.
Yeah, which where did that come from? I mean, again, that was another one of those things where it was like, oh, well, if he's having homosexual thoughts, then clearly he would want to put an animal up his ass.
Right.
And where did that come from?
Not only that, but there's like a search for keys in King's apartment or whatever it is, and underneath a pillow is about a dozen discarded condoms with gerbils that are in them. It was that I was like, okay, that's ridiculous, and I think that's one of those other purposeful offensive things. But it was also like, how are they putting these two things together?
To me, it was offensive, but not for the reason that they were going for. Right? They were going there to shock you and offend you, but to me, it was offensive that they just automatically associated those two things together. I mean, like homosexuality and this weird compulsion to shove a hamster up your butt. Right, I mean,
let me tell you when I stopped watching the movie.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so we have a couple of deaths in this movie. The first death, Liberace's penis tells King to cut open the woman and kill her, which he does, and then Liberace's penis tells him to have sex with that wound.
Yeah, the open wound.
Right, so at that point, I almost turned it off. I'm like, you know what? You guys were, Strickland, you were warning me on Twitter.
Like, yeah.
And I'm like,
At that point, I should have turned it off, right. But I kept watching.
Something is going to get better. Then there's a second death, and then the second death is less worse, arguably. But then there's this
not as bad is another way of putting that.
Right. There's this third death. Yeah. King wants to go confess to a priest.
Yes.
And so he goes into a confessional with this priest, who's like, "Okay, tell me about your sins." King talks about his unnatural urges, as he puts it. The priest then
asks, by the way, is the name of his band, also, The Unnatural Urges.
Right. King is asked for his hand, so then the priest can hold it in theory. But what happens, apparently, is that since there's a confessional wall blocking the action, the hand is probably placed on the privates of the priest.
Right. So the priest is turned on by the king's description of his unnatural acts,
right,
and then is asking for a little a hand from the king.
Right. Then he's pleading with the king to have sex. The king decides he at least says something like he's going to comply at an altar. Then the priest is pushed to the ground. His pants are off, which is, I believe, he's wearing ladies' underwear underneath. So the king decides to take a 6-foot crucifix and then rams it into the rear end. They kill the guy. You hear a fart noise because that's always so funny. And then I hit pause because I wanted to see how much I was watching. 1 hour and 7 minutes. And I'm like, that's enough.
Yeah. So the priest is left face down on the ground
on the with altar, by the altar.
Yeah, with a 6-foot crucifix sticking out at a weird angle from his rear.
Yep. So yeah, Eric, you haven't seen any of this.
No, I'm really glad I stopped where I did, to be honest.
Eric,
I wanted to.
I really want to hear, after you've heard effectively a summation of a 90-minute film, you've only watched 23 minutes of it. Of the 70 minutes you didn't see, did anything sound appealing?
It sounded insanely homophobic.
Yeah, no, it that's, like I said, I was shocked. I was just, you know, the only way it could have been actually, I don't think it could have been worse if they had just been – if they had just come out and said, you know, we hate gay people. That would have – if they had just spent 90 minutes doing that, to me, that would have been less horrible than what I saw.
Oh, we did because skip the fact that Frankie is killed accidentally.
Yes, that's true. Frankie – actually, he dies – there's a good like 15 minutes left in the movie after he's dead.
Yes.
When I say a good 15 minutes, don't mistake me. I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about quantity.
Yeah, that movie also shot
in
4:3.
It was awful. Yeah. Okay. So the thing is that the whole idea of assembling a rock and roll guy out of all these body parts could have actually had some comedic value to it. And there was even a moment, there was one joke in the whole thing where I thought, all right, that was a lame joke, but that was the closest that this movie's come to being funny, which was where the grave robbers are going through the first, I think it's when they were trying to dig up Jimi Hendrix, and one of them says, man, this is worse than that Black Sabbath tour. And I thought, okay, all right, that's cute. Maybe the rest of this movie's not so bad. And once it got to the whole penis thing, I was like, all right, now if this is a throwaway joke, I guess it's not the worst thing ever. But they take the idea that the music agent has, which is that the penis is the true guide of any rock musician, and they run with that so hard that it just directs the rest of the film. And also you got this idea, although it's never really explored beyond the fact that you've got a brain and a dick, but you've got this idea that the king is host to multiple personalities because somehow part of the personality still is embodied in whatever body parts there are. But right. you never have like Jimi Hendrix's hands start talking or Sid Vicious's butt, which would have been far more entertaining. And
see, I should have turned it off the second I saw them giving King a guitar. And King, although I guess Elvis was a righty, Hendrix was a lefty.
Yes.
And so he's playing guitar righty.
I noticed that too.
And that was...
That should have automatically just been a disqualifier.
That right there should have been... No, this is not supposed to happen. Jimmy
also,
Hendrix, lefty.
Also, the whole subplot, and it's just, you know, the whole subplot about the fact that it's supposed to be stem cells from babies that rejuvenates dead tissue. That was
I thought it was just pretty. The brain.
And maybe, because I don't know.
The hands were placed in like a green goop, and a bunch of stuff is in green goop.
But
Elvis brain.
But, No. He says that the stuff that's bringing this tissue back to life all comes because it's the same thing he's injecting into the cow head at
the very
beginning.
Cow.
Yeah.
Calf brain.
So you'd find out it's essentially bits of baby.
Well,
and
I did enjoy the fact that they kind of glossed over how they obtained that stuff.
In a big garbage bag.
They had a big bag of baby brains handed to the bumbling thieves in a car.
Yeah.
They were really – I mean, the thing is, they glossed over exactly how they broke into Graceland and stole Elvis's head.
Yeah.
They glossed over the fact that that if the rash of grave robbings were happening to musicians, that security wouldn't increase.
I did like that there was apparently a rock and roll cemetery.
Yes, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame cemetery. Because
that was actually kind of – that was a little amusing to me because it was just so ridiculous.
Right. I thought that was like, okay, you know what we're doing? We're watching a movie. You know it's a movie. This is already a crazy concept. Let's be stupid about it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So here's my thing, guys. Our next movie is the Insane Clown Posse movie. Yeah. Someone else pick the one after that because I'm done. I am not picking another one after Rock and Roll Frankenstein and what I suspect Insane Clown Posse will do to me. Now I'm going to say this. I am not going to hesitate to turn off that damn movie as soon as I'm like, okay, no, I cannot. I'm not going to make myself endure this. I will turn it off. I am not going to have another Rock and Roll Frankenstein inhabiting brain cells and taking up useful space in my head.
Because we can never unwatch that. We watched
No,
that
it
movie.
Is there forever, dude. I watched it all the way through with no distractions.
I did 1 hour and 7 minutes with no distractions. I did the rest of it while I was doing the TNT lineup this morning. And
That explains that show.
It was disturbing today. All these green penis news fuse items.
Oh, so bad. Guys, honestly, if you people out there in podcast land are still for some reason hold on, Falstaff. Some reason listening to this, don't watch that movie. Falstaff will tell you it's a terrible film.
No, you know what? Let's double check something. Now, what was the movie rated for you? For me, it was 1 star.
It was I think it was just under 2 for me.
Okay. Eric, do you remember yours?
I think mine was like 1.5 or something. Because like
I think for Troll 2, yours was like a 5, right?
Yeah, mine was like 4.5 for Troll 2. Oh, wait. I have the movie. Vapid Shallow Models Must Die.
Okay, let's see it.
So that one's after Big Money Rustlers?
Yeah. This one popped up the other day. It's on Netflix.
Vapid. You just typed in Vapid. It says unavailable.
Oh, really? Oh, it was last week. No.
Becca said, my wife actually suggested a movie, and this was my wife's suggestion, not mine, because I specifically said when we first started this, no titty comedies or anything like that.
Yes.
Because I didn't want that cluttering up my Netflix, recently watched you. Yeah. But Becca said, I think it was Naked Nuns with Big Guns.
I will look that up. But when I looked up Vapid Shallow Models Must Die,
it's unavailable. It was there last week.
But if you scroll down, it says other results. Surf Nazis, Must Die.
From 1987.
82 minutes. Is this actually Trauma?
Oh, is it Trauma?
It's Traumatized. Futuristic romp. Oh, good gosh. What was this one you did? It was big. It was Nuns with...
Right. No, it's Nude Nuns with Big Guns.
I just wrote in Nuns, and it's the first one that shows up.
Yeah.
Nude Nuns with Big Guns. It's vowing to take revenge on the brutal clergy members who victimized her, which already we can tell this is going to be a terrible movie. Sweet Sister Sarah takes up arms and starts blowing away the bad guys. So that my guess is that there's probably a rape scene in that movie.
Not.
So I don't know that I want to put myself through that.
All right. Okay, so we've seen Surf. I'm suggesting I might be suggesting Surf Nazis Must Die, but I don't know. I need like a Troll 2 style, like, oh, that was like
that was bad, but it doesn't scar you.
Yeah. Let's see. Probably the horror section.
They don't have it. Attack of the Killer Condom. That was one of the worst films I've ever seen.
By highest rated, and then we go all the way to the bottom. Like I just need like a. I know that the Insane Clown Posse movie will be at least 12 minutes of my life. Let's see. The Shiver of Vampires. That looks terrible.
I'm surprised they don't have a Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter.
Okay, I'm not watching Human Centipede.
I've already seen Human Centipede, so it doesn't count.
Well, there's a sequel.
I've seen that one, too.
I haven't seen that either. Oh, that looks terrible. Just the picture... At least it's from 2007. Let's see what it's about. Deadline. Martin Sanders, a socially awkward recluse whose only entertainment comes from eavesdropping on other people's private conversations, gets a shock when he overhears the devilish plottings of a serial killer who lives in his building. That doesn't seem so bad. Although the first review, make no mistake, this film is absolute garbage and should never have ever been released. Hiss and Netflix are giving us the bottom of the barrel instant streaming choices.
What score does it predict for you?
It gives me one, but on average, it gets two.
I get 1.5.
What was the title again?
Deadline.
Deadline.
Wait,
two
I don't
words.
Think this is even in English. Oh, it's foreign. This would be a lot easier to get through.
Oh, it's foreign. I like that. It's just, oh, it's foreign. Latin American movies.
Well, I mean, like, I'll have to read subtitles. So, I mean, since it's no distractions anyway.
Yeah, at least that keeps you occupied.
I think you're learning a bit of Spanish, which is always nice.
Deadline, 2.5 stars for me.
2.5. I love this. Yeah. Your taste profile must be, like, horrific.
Apparently, yeah. It is.
What was it for Rock and Roll Frankenstein again?
Mine was 1.
Yeah, I'm asking Eric. I want to know how terrible a person Eric is.
But I didn't even finish it. Like, that's the part that doesn't make sense. It was
No. It's 2.5. That's what it predicted for you?
Yep.
You are a terrible human being.
We're going to go ahead and give that a 1-star rating right now.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's correct. It's taste profile.
See,
there's The Crow, Wicked Prayer, right? Like, that's going to suck.
Oh, they're not that bad. I've watched all of those.
Wicked Prayer?
Yeah, I've totally seen Wicked Prayer.
Oh, that's out of the game then.
Yep.
How about Highlander 2, the Renegade version?
What is that?
Well, I saw Highlander 2, you know, have you seen Highlander 2, Ayaz?
I have, actually, and if I remember right, that's the movie that's ignored by continuity.
Right, well, they all ignore it. Yes, I know, Falstaff. They all ignore continuity. I mean, they all do after the first one. Because, I mean, the first one was not meant to have a sequel. It has a definitive ending.
Right.
But Highlander 2, when Highlander 2 came out, they reveal, here's a spoiler alert for any of you people out there who haven't watched the Highlander movies, but in Highlander 2, the original cinematic version, they reveal that the immortals are from an alien planet and that they are fighting for the ability to get back to their home world. And it's this whole power struggle thing, and they're sent to exile on Earth, and it's just awful. You have this whole alien thing that just makes it, you take this kind of cool high concept movie and you ruin the good parts about it. Because as much as I like Highlander, I will admit it's not a great film.
No, it's fun.
It's a fun high concept movie that has a lot of issues. Well, Highlander 2 takes the fun parts and makes it not fun anymore. And the Renegade version is the version that the director says he wanted to do in the first place. He says that the producers were the ones who wanted to add in all the alien stuff to make it more of a science fiction film. And that's not what he intended at all. So the Renegade version cuts out almost all the other stuff that would relate to it being aliens. And so there's actually quite a bit of it removed. I've never tried to watch the Renegade version. I've only seen the regular one. But I can tell you, apparently it doesn't help the movie very much because it predicts it at 1.5 stars for me.
It's pretty impressive. But I think I found a pick. I don't know when it's going to happen, but this is based on the actors that are in it. You guys ever watch Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
No.
Yeah, I used to watch that.
Corin Nemec stars in Sand Sharks. And this comedic thriller.
I've seen the cover art for that.
An underwater earthquake cracks open a crater deep beneath the ocean surface, unleashing a prehistoric shark. The terrifying creature soon begins to prey on a group of unsuspecting teens partying at the beach. On an average of 49,000 ratings, it gets 2.7 stars. So this might be too good.
Yeah, that might be.
For me, it only gives me 1.5.
Well, maybe we can watch that after we watch Big Money Rustlers is going to be.
Oh yeah, that'll be like 10 minutes.
That's going to be tough, man. It gives it 1.5 stars for me for Sand Sharks.
Yeah, me too. 1.5. I do want to watch House of Cards at some point.
I've heard good and bad from a couple people, but damn, Netflix is pushing it.
Well, they paid a ton, like what, a couple of $1 million for it, $100 million.
Yep.
So that's enough of our movie crap.
Okay.
How's everything else going?
A little crazy for me.
Crazy? Any more 4K footage of your face?
There will be. I go and shoot another series of videos, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And then so for this week, I record episodes of my tech stuff podcast on Friday. Starting next Tuesday, I start a new podcast over at a brand new, not a nude, a new podcast at How Stuff Works on Tuesday. We start recording that. It'll be called Forward Thinking. And then I'm still doing tech stuff as well. On Sunday, I fly up to Harrisburg to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, to stay at the Hershey Lodge, where I will be giving a keynote presentation for the Pennsylvania Educational Technology Expo and Conference, or PETENC. I will be in the chocolate ballroom at the Hershey Lodge giving my keynote presentation. All of that is true. And then, yeah, I guess that's it. So I've got a second podcast. I know, buddy. I've got a second podcast, and then I've got a whole bunch of video and speechifying.
So,
yeah, my next week and a half is going to be pretty intense. How about you, Eric? How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I've been busy as hell, actually. We got in our 3D printer, and that's just been taking up way too much of our time. We printed a TIE fighter. I posted it. It was pretty. The 3D printer is the most expensive toy, but it is the best, most expensive toy I've ever bought myself. It's awesome.
Because it can make more toys.
It can make more toys. Yeah, it's pretty great. I recommend you all go get one immediately.
I have one.
Oh yeah, you guys have one at the office.
Yep, we've got one. Although it's one of the It's one of the smaller models, but yeah, we've got
two out of three Podcasts Without Pretense hosts have. So
technically I just have access to it. It's not actually mine.
I need a 3D scanner though. That's the next step. Well, pretty much we're just going to hack a Kinect at this point, but
yeah, it's like you're going to build your own probably.
Yep. It's way easier, way cheaper. But how are you doing, Ines?
I've been sick for the longest time at this point. I've had a cough since January.
What?
Like, what's the actual date? Like, right after CES, I've had a cough, and it has not left.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was okay by Monday, and then I got a relapse on Tuesday. So that was fun. So I'm going to see a doctor on Monday, because I'm tired of being sick. I've been sick for almost all of this year. So that's what I've been doing. I've been recovering and staying away from Twit, because I can't bring, like, disease and pestilence.
Bringing the plague in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a good thing. I had to figure out what happens if I'm sick for know-how tomorrow. It's like, oh, they can cancel it. I'm like, that's good, because I don't have a backup. So we're going to start doing extra episodes when I'm healthy again, which is fun. Also terrifying, because that show does a lot of prep. Let's see. So otherwise, pretty good. Pretty good. Other stuff to talk about, not recorded.
All right.
There you go. Audience, you can go ahead and guess all you want.
Yeah, why don't you guys go away and we're going to chat.
We're just going to have a chat.
So next time on Podcast on Pretense.
I tell you, the next movie we should watch is The FP.
No.
No.